What are the most important elements of a godly marriage? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, this is Bill Meyer along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And you can email us with your question at questions@corechristianity.com. First up today, a good news story to share with you during this time of coronavirus. A Massachusetts-based nonprofit is giving away wedding gowns to healthcare heroes in communities across the country. Brides Across America, which is known for giving away wedding dresses to military women and first responders, has broadened the group that it serves. They're now offering free wedding dresses to healthcare professionals who are working to save the lives of COVID-19 patients. And if you know someone who is a doctor or a nurse or an EMT and they're planning on getting married, they can learn more at the Brides Across America website.
That's so cool, Bill.
Now, speaking of marriage, on today's program, we're going to be focusing on marriage. During the past couple of weeks, we've been encouraging you to submit your questions on marriage, and we'll be answering those today. But before we get into that, Adriel, can you explain why the Christian model of marriage is so unique and special?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, ultimately, it points us and ought to point us to the relationship that exists between Christ and the church. And Paul talked about this in Ephesians 5. You want to look at what a healthy, godly marriage is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be like that relationship of love, sacrificial love, submission, care, affection. I mean, those things that we see in Scripture. And ultimately, it's that love that God has for His people. You know, there's this wonderful verse in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled." That word there, honor, it's oftentimes used in the New Testament to refer to something that is precious, valued. You think of costly stones or something like that. Marriage is something that Scripture values. It's precious. And the sad reality, Bill, is in our culture today, in our society, it seems like marriage is being devalued more and more. And so it's really important for us to understand Christian marriage, ultimately what it is that God calls us to in our relationships according to what the Scriptures teach. One of the things that I see all over the place right now is people who say things like, "Well, I just don't feel like I'm in love with my spouse anymore." And they use that as a grounds for separating or even divorce. I love what C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity in his chapter on Christian marriage. He said, "Love, as being distinct from being in love, is not merely a feeling. It is a deep unity maintained by the will and deliberately strengthened by habit, reinforced by, in Christian marriages, the grace which both partners ask and receive from God. They can have this love for each other even at those moments when they do not like each other. As you love yourself, even when you do not like yourself, they can retain this love even when each would easily, if they allowed themselves, be in love with someone else. Being in love," Lewis writes, "first move them to promise fidelity, but this quieter love enables them to keep the promise. It is on this love that the engine of marriage is run. Being in love was the explosion that started it." Isn't that so beautiful, Bill? It's love is deeper than a feeling. It's this commitment that's rooted in God's word, God's grace, and we're deriving strength from the Holy Spirit, from the grace that God gives to each of us to love each other as we should.
I love what C.S. Lewis says in that book. And by the way, we still have a few copies of C.S. Lewis's book. We would love to send you for a donation of any amount here at corechristianity.com. And as we've mentioned before, in addition to talking about marriage, he really gets into all the core tenets of the faith and helps you really to defend your faith as well. So if you have an interest in that, get in touch with us at corechristianity.com/offers. Well, let's get to our first question of the day. This one comes from Julie, and she says, "I'm not married yet, and sometimes I wonder if it's worth all the trouble. My parents went through a really difficult divorce, and I keep hearing similar stories from my friends. My boyfriend wants us to move in together, and even though some friends from church are telling me not to, I don't know how I'm supposed to get to know anyone well enough to marry them if we don't live together first. I really don't want to go through what my parents did. Plus, moving in together makes financial sense. Sometimes it seems like the idea of marriage is just a stressful burden on our relationship, especially when we're already committed to each other. Marriage won't change any of that, so why do it?
Hey, Julie, I'm so sorry for the trauma you experienced through your parents' divorce. I totally understand your question. If we didn't have examples of loving marriages growing up, sometimes the temptation is to think, well, is it worth it? I mean, if all I've experienced is pain and betrayal and broken promises, I don't want to put myself through that. But that's not what God intends for marriage. Marriage is supposed to be, as I said, a beautiful and life-giving depiction of the relationship that exists between Christ and the church. There's selfless love and commitment. And frankly, I think we live in a world that needs that more than ever. But not everyone is called to be married. And that's another truth. Paul actually seemed to discourage it in some regard in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, not because it wasn't a gift from God, but because he knew that there is a certain amount of work that marriage requires. It's not always roses. And listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 32. He says, "I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord." In that passage, you know, Paul is responding to questions that the Corinthians had about marriage, and he's saying, look, you're free to marry, but it's also okay not to marry. Now, I want to address your question about moving in with your boyfriend. Don't do it. It opens the door for temptation. Unmarried couples should not live together, and sex is something that is reserved for marriage. I mean, that passage that I quoted from earlier in Hebrews chapter 13, marriage is to be honored by all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Many people today want the benefits of marriage, sex, the financial benefits, you know, whatever the benefits might be, without the commitment of marriage. Let me just quote C.S. Lewis again on this. He says, "The monstrosity of sexual intercourse outside of marriage is that those who indulge in it are trying to isolate one kind of union, the sexual, from all other kinds of union which were intended to go along with it and make up the total union. The Christian attitude does not mean that there is anything wrong about sexual pleasure any more than about the pleasure of eating. It means that you must not isolate that pleasure and try to get it by itself any more than you ought to try to get the pleasures of taste without swallowing and digesting, by chewing things and spitting them out again." I think he puts it so well there. You know, marriage is like a covenant in Scripture. It's pledging our love to each other in an unconditional way, and God honors that. Julie, rather than try to figure it all out in order to avoid what happened with your parents, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord. Trust him that following his way leads to a healthier and stronger marriage than trying to test the waters in order to gauge whether or not you think things are going to work out in the end. Your parents' divorce doesn't have to be your story. I feared this too. Sister, my parents were never married. I wasn't brought up in a home where you had two loving parents, modeling this picture of Christ in the church. I had my mom, who was a rock star, holding it down for our family, doing everything that she could to provide for us. We have to rely on God and his word to guide us. And God's word puts a high value on marriage, the marriage relationship, on sex. It's treated as something that's to be honored. And I think we can minimize that by saying, is it worth it? The truth is, it is worth it insofar as marriage is that picture and ought to be that picture of the love that exists between Christ and the church. And we can have that in our marriages as we depend upon the Lord.
Julie, we pray that you'll make the right decisions moving forward and that God will give you insight and wisdom in whatever you choose to do. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Our phone number, if you have a question, is 833-THE-CORE. You can also post your question on our Facebook or Instagram accounts. And Oksana posted this. She said, I would like to get married, but I'm having an identity crisis of who I am and who I want my spouse to be. I know I should prioritize my faith and his faith, but identify with being Ukrainian-American very much. All four of my Ukrainian grandparents survived the Nazi labor camps, so they sought refuge here in the United States. The problem is, most Ukrainians in the U.S. are Orthodox or Catholic, but I don't find myself attracted to godly men who are regular Americans and don't understand my cultural heritage. Do you have any advice for me as to what I can do to convince myself that finding a godly man, no matter what nationality, is the most important thing?
Yeah, well, one, sister, let me just say, first, I'm encouraged by the fact that you're even thinking about these things, you know. Hey, you're not saying, let me get out there and figure out what I like, but you're thinking seriously about the kind of man God wants you to be with. Now, I get that cultural differences are a significant thing. Sometimes I think we can even downplay those in relationships. And we quickly find out in marriage that those differences can't just be brushed under the rug. I mean, it's one of the ways that we grow together, and it really can be a beautiful thing. Our cultural upbringing plays a huge role in our development, our interests, how we view the world around us. And yet, as you already stated, the main thing for us to consider when it comes to who am I going to marry is, are they a follower of Jesus? Now, under the old covenant, you know, Israel was only allowed to marry among the covenant people, Israel. But now through Jesus, the covenant people have been expanded to include not just Jews, but Ukrainians and Africans and Mexicans and people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. The first question we ask isn't what's their race or culture, but are they in Christ? And that's more than did they get baptized once. You know, Bill, we were just talking about how, you know, sometimes people might say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Sure, I'll go to church with you and whatnot. But they really are just doing it or saying it so that you'll date them or so that they can date you. I've seen this. Young men or young women in the church like someone. They're attractive, successful. And while they don't really have a church, this person that they like, and don't really ever attend services unless it's Christmas or Easter, we compromise and think, well, they're willing to go to church for me. Well, look, you want to be with someone who doesn't go to church and follow Jesus to make you happy, but they follow Jesus because they know who Jesus is. Someone who needs you to follow Jesus doesn't really know Jesus yet, because if they did, they wouldn't follow him to get to you, but because of who he is. And Paul makes it absolutely clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, that we're free to be married to whoever we want as Christians, so long as they are in the Lord. And then Bill earlier referenced that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14 and what follows, where Paul talked about not being unequally yoked. That is, Christians not being unequally yoked with non-Christians, and certainly that applies to marriage. So look, my advice for why you should prioritize faith or how you can prioritize faith over cultural background is this. You can do it because God commands it. God's word says we're free to marry in the Lord. And the neat thing here is that you do have freedom. It may be that the Lord brings someone around who happens to be a passionate Christ follower and share your same Ukrainian heritage. I don't know. But I'll tell you something I've noticed with people, and I even wrestled with this when I was single and thinking about marriage. One fear we can have when we're single is God is going to call me to be with someone I don't want to be with. We think that when it comes to relationships and frankly life in general, God doesn't have our best interest in mind. Well, sister, God does have your best interest in mind. And that's precisely why we're called to marry in the Lord. Because the most important thing about marriage is that it is this depiction of, as I've said already, the relationship that exists between Christ and the church. And if you're not married to someone who is in Christ, it's really hard for marriage to function in that way. So God calls us to marry in the Lord because he knows that that's the root of the core of how we have godly marriages. Let me just say one more thing. I remember when I was getting married with my wife and we were going through premarital counseling, pastor gave us this advice that I've never forgotten, and both my wife and I have clung to this because it was just so helpful. He said, look, you're going to get married, and there are going to be challenges that life throws your way, sins, things that you didn't anticipate, sickness, all sorts of different things, right? I mean, right now, as you're preparing, you're so excited and that honeymoon stage, and you got a little bit of the rose-colored glasses, but look, life is going to hit you. But here's the hope that you have. The gospel that you're committed to, the Jesus that you both serve, is strong enough to sustain you, to keep you through anything, so that no matter what you face, there's always hope. There's always hope when we're in Christ, committed to Him, because we know that His will is our sanctification, our growth. And so it's so important that you're with someone who knows and loves Jesus.
Oksana will be praying for you. This is Core Christianity. I'm Bill Meyer with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And Adriel, we actually have an offer that ties right into today's topic, which we want to let our listeners know about.
Bill, I'm excited about sharing this resource. It's actually one that I wrote. It's called 7 Things You Need to Know About Marriage and Sex. And it's free for you when you sign up for our weekly newsletter. I mean, right, we keep getting these questions about relationships, people struggling in their marriages. This resource lays a really good foundation for what the Bible teaches about marriage. I think it's going to be helpful for you. So go over to corechristianity.com/offers to download 7 Things You Need to Know About Marriage and Sex.
And you can also call us for that at 833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. This is Core Christianity. We did receive several questions about divorce, and we realize that for many of our listeners, it may dredge up deep emotions and painful memories from the past. And we want you to know we have been reading your questions and praying for you, even if you haven't heard us responding to your questions on the show. In fact, part of the reason we wanted to do this episode on marriage was to encourage anyone who is considering divorce and really to seek out your pastor and the elders of your church. You need their help on this, whether it's prayer, advice, or counseling. And I cannot speak highly enough about good marriage counseling, because I think a lot of couples, when they're having problems, they don't want to admit that they are struggling. They don't want to admit they have a weakness. But man, oh man, there are so many godly Christian counselors who can help you with that. And although we're not going to be speaking to specific divorce questions on the program, we do want to address what the Bible has to say about this topic of divorce and remarriage.
Yeah, Bill. Well, I really like the way you set that up. I mean, just the fact of the matter is we value marriage too much to handle questions about marriage and divorce flippantly on this program. I know that the most important thing for you as you think about these things is to be in a solid church where you're getting godly counsel. I've seen people time and time again when they want a divorce to simply make these decisions in isolation by themselves, or to seek out the counsel of people that they know are already just going to agree with them. Brothers and sisters, this is so important. We really want to be slow and wise and approach this situation with a lot of grace. You know, I'm going to quote Lewis again here because I think he's just so helpful on these topics. He says, Christianity teaches that marriage is for life. There is, of course, a difference here between different churches. Some do not admit divorce at all. Some allow it reluctantly in very special cases. It is a great pity that Christians should disagree about such a question. But for an ordinary layperson, the thing to notice is that churches all agree with one another about marriage a great deal more than any of them agrees with the outside world. I mean, they all regard divorce as something like cutting up a living body, as a kind of surgical operation. Jesus did talk about instances where divorce was permissible. I think of Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees came to Jesus asking him, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And he answered, have you not read, he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. This is why Lewis says it's like a surgical procedure. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and send her away? And he said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. See, Jesus really valued, had a high view of marriage. There's another text in scripture that seems to indicate that willful abandonment, just this irreparable abandonment, is another legitimate ground for divorce. You think of Paul's discussion in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he talks about an unbelieving spouse leaving, abandoning their husband or their wife. There are in scripture grounds for divorce, but you need the help and encouragement of people who know you, who know your marriage, who can speak into your life and even challenge you if you need to be challenged. And let me just add one other point. If you're in an abusive relationship, well, then you need to get into a safe environment where you're not allowing harm to come to yourself. I mean, one of the ways we love our spouse well is by bringing that kind of thing into the light and not allowing them to continue to destroy themselves and to harm you while you're in the midst of this abusive relationship. And so I really think that that needs to be brought into the light. And of course, Bill, as you said, this is such a sensitive topic, a sensitive situation. And we can't in 5 minutes give people the kind of advice and counsel that we would like to give them. And that's why we're saying, you need to make sure you're in a good church, surrounded by godly brothers and sisters, pastors, elders who are watching over your soul, so that when you're in situations like this, you're not isolated, but you have the family of God around you that can speak into your situation because they know you in a way that I don't know you. So I want to pray right now for all of those who are struggling with this very thing, who are contemplating divorce, who are in marriages that are difficult, where they're suffering. Lord, pour out your mercy upon all those right now who need it, especially in our marriages, Lord God. We know that there can be difficulties, and God, we know that divorce is a reality in our culture. We pray that you would help us, Lord, as your people, to value marriage, to honor you, to love our spouses well, so that our marriages would reflect to the world the great love that you have for your people, Lord, this sacrificial love, this self-giving love, this affection. Oh God, help us. And I pray for the person right now who is in a very difficult marriage. Pour your grace out on that person. Would you help them to get the help that they need, whether it's through Christian counselors, the body of Christ, Lord, but would you bring them out of that place of isolation and bring them, Lord, into a place of fellowship with others where they can think about these things clearly and make wise decisions that are honoring to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and just have time for one more question. Vicky asked us this: how can my fiance and I prepare ourselves for a godly marriage?
Oh boy, well, we have about a minute for this one, but I would just say, as I've already said, be in a good church, do premarital counseling. I mean, some of the big things that come up over and over again in marital conflict are money, family relationships, sex. And those are big hangups for many marriages. And so I think those are important things to discuss and to have some godly counsel on as you're entering into marriage, right? Like, how are we going to handle finances, budgeting? So I think those are things you're going to want to address. And then communication is key, right? Learning good communication techniques, assertiveness, both couples being able to assert in a positive way to say what they want so that you're not just always assuming your partner knows what it is that you want or that they can read your mind. And then listening, active listening, being able to listen to your spouse and to understand what it is that they're saying so that you can have healthy communication, not bringing any secrets into the marriage. I mean, those are all things I would want to say to you. But again, I mentioned that advice that my pastor gave me when I was going through premarital counseling for me and my wife, just saying, look, when two people are committed to Jesus in Christ and we're looking to him, you're going to go through a lot of things, challenges, great things in marriage, but also difficulties. But when you're committed to Jesus, there's always hope because the grace of Christ is sufficient to sustain our marriages no matter what we go through. And so clinging to Jesus and growing in your relationship with Christ individually and together is so important for a healthy marriage.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.